Hi, friends. Welcome to Reengage. My name is Eddie Bedrina, and this is my lovely wife, Rachel. We've been married for 13 years, and we just wanted to be here tonight and share God's story of grace in our lives and to give you hope wherever you may be in your marriages. To give you hope about what God can do in and through people who are broken and need Him and recognize that. So we are both from Texas and moved up to D.C., and that's where a lot of our story happens. But I'll fast forward right now. We have three kids, and I think there's a picture. There they are. That's Rory, who's 9, Cole, who's 4, and Sophie, who's 8 months. She's the little pumpkin down there on the right. And so we have been blessed with those kids, and I'm thankful every day that the Lord has redeemed our marriage because I do not know what it would be like with those kids if we were not together and the legacy that we would have left. If we had not heeded God's call in our lives. So, Rachel?
So, before we start, I first want to say I'm not a comfortable public speaker, so if you see me kind of fidgeting or getting red, which I probably already am, just forgive me. But also, before we start, we wanted to share a couple of verses that just give thanks to God for restoring our marriage. We know that we could not have come from where we were to where we are now without Him. So the first one is Psalm 30, verse 2. O Lord my God, I cried out to you for help, and you have healed me. You've restored me from life You've restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And the second one is Psalm 107:2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hands of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, north and the south, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And that's our story. We cried out to God, and He has redeemed us.
So our story, here's our background. So I grew up in a Christian home with parents who were both devoted followers of Jesus. I was a good kid at church, but slightly crazy in high school and the first part of college. Although I had a growing relationship with Jesus while I was at Texas A&M, there were still things I was holding back from God, mainly pornography and just sheer ambition. Rachel was raised in a divorced family and was in and out of church as a child. God drew her to a personal relationship with Him as a young teenager, and despite a few bumps along the way, she continued to grow throughout high school and into college. So I met her towards the end of college at A&M through volunteering for a ministry called Breakaway. And the guy who led Breakaway, his name's Greg Mott. He introduced us. We were both friends, and he was very gracious about saying, "Hey, you know, you might want to pursue her. She's pretty awesome." And it was just a fun dating period for us, and we were engaged for about 6 months. So, dated for a year, engaged for 6 months, got married. And we were both believers. We enjoyed many of the same activities, and we were in love. So we thought we had it made. After marrying in December of 2000, we moved to Washington, D.C., for me to pursue a political career. Ambition, check the box. We were the classic D.C. couple. She worked on Capitol Hill and then at the White House. And then I worked on some high-profile foreign policy issues at the State Department. And then I eventually ran a White House agency. On the outside, we had it all. We had a full social calendar, friendships with other believers, and I had a pretty higher career trajectory. But on the inside, we were growing apart. We actually started apart. I had a difficult time being just with intimacy as a child, and being with someone as open and transparent as Rachel was not something I was able to fully process. And additionally, we had gone through a lot, I'd say, in the first, 12 months of marriage, and even before that. I lost a very close friend in the military. It's about 9 months before we were married, and my inability to grieve and to be open about my grief provided an emotional wedge between us. After we were married, we did things together, but we were not really connected. When another of my close friends was killed in Iraq, I emotionally shut down, and my heart was really separated from my actions. Soon after losing my friend, Rachel's had a little brother, and he was killed in a tragic accident. So, needless to say, we were both grief-stricken and heartbroken over these losses. One thing to note, too, is we were in D.C., kind of in the middle of the Washington power circle when 9/11 hit. And so that was an additional stress that as we've kind of have, as we've matured and as we've looked back, we saw that, you know, that was very, on top of all the deaths that occurred in our family and in our inner circle, that tragic event was just another underlying thing that for me, I couldn't handle. I couldn't process it. I couldn't grieve. I was just consumed with work. So, we processed the deaths and then the events in D.C. and New York so differently, and we're unfortunately not able to connect well with each other through our grief. So meanwhile, at home, we really functioned more like roommates, and it's a common refrain we hear a lot from couples, is that you're basically just living in the same house, but you have emotionally have nothing to do with each other, and you cannot connect. And that was us in a nutshell. I was consumed with work, and after starting a family with the birth of our daughter, Rachel was in her own world of being a new mom. So neither of us was focused on one another. And honestly, I was not focused on the Lord. So we let issues slide, and we thought that the marriage would take care of itself. When we did communicate, it was more fighting against each other than building into our marriage and being one. Our communication styles were completely foreign to one another. So Rachel would bottle things up, explode, and then withdraw. And I tended to solve things right in the moment. That's how I'd been raised. But often withheld a lot of internal conflict and emotion. So we had major issues in our relationship with openness and then with communication, as well as with our communication styles. We also had our own personal issues that we brought to our marriage, such as my struggles with intimacy and openness, and then Rachel's struggles with fear and worry and trust. And we still struggle with those today. We just handle them differently. I didn't have accountability with anyone. That was a big key to my downfall. I wasn't transparent or authentic with any of the brothers around me, even though God had provided some people strategically, providentially, to be around me later on in the story. And so as a result, I made some really bad personal choices. I was unfaithful to Rachel on multiple occasions and became addicted to pornography. Looking back, I had some serious blind spots in my personal life that I wasn't aware of, or that I didn't want to be made aware of, is probably a more accurate statement. And I didn't let anyone around me act as my rearview mirrors to guard me from getting into accidents. You know, guys, especially, you know, we love to think that we can drive really well. It's always the other person who can't drive well. And it's, we get into accidents a lot is because we have these blind spots and we just don't use our mirrors to help with the blind spots. And for me and for guys in general, we need those guys around us who are in our lives, who are in our grill, who know our stuff, to be those rear view mirrors and to show us the blind spots. And moving forward, that has been one of the things that, along with Rachel, that God has really used in my life, has just been people, if I'm open and authentic with them, brothers around me to say, hey, listen, Eddie, you're being just a moron. You know, you need to look at this. And fortunately, I have brothers who will be that frank with me. So as a result of bad decisions again and again, with no accountability over a period of time, my heart became totally disconnected from my actions. And it resulted in our marriage almost ending in divorce. So Rachel moved from D.C. back to Texas in 05 and lived with her parents. I moved in with a friend, stayed in D.C. and left my career in government. And realizing that it was not a healthy time or a healthy environment for me. And I don't know if government at that level is ever a healthy environment for any marriage, but that's a whole other story. So we were both shaken to the core. We were separated for a period of about 8 or 9 months. And during that time, I had no idea whether we would be able to reconcile our relationship.
Looking back now, we can really see that God was walking us through that time and restoring our marriage. It didn't feel like it at that time, but we can see that in retrospect. There were several things that helped us to get through that extremely difficult time. And one of those things that truly held us up during that time was the body of Christ or our Christian community. We had a group of friends who were willing to walk with us separately and as a couple. And we're very thankful for that, because a lot of people who go through difficulties in their marriage, the girls have their gals on one side that are willing to support them and kind of be in their court, and the guys have their buddies. But we really had some couples who said, we're for you. Even though you're not for each other right now, we're for you as a couple. So we're very thankful for them. Hebrews 2:13 says, but exhort one another every day, as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We are all in danger of our hearts being hardened by sin, and we need each other to encourage, rebuke, and instruct us, and to hold our original confidence firm until the end.
So to piggyback on the idea of community, these couples who, you know, were around us before we separated and were for us during our separation and during our restoration and reconciliation, we still keep in touch with them. In fact, you know, we're going to go see some this weekend in California. There, and that community has grown. And even though we only see them once, twice, three times a year, that has proved to be for us just a milestone, a marker, physical, personal, relational markers of where we were. And we all get together once a year. It's just an idea to throw out there for you guys, is to really, really invest in your community, whether it's in your neighborhood, folks, you know, who are going to be in your lives and walking with you day to day, but also to invest. It takes an investment. It really does. I mean, we sacrifice a lot to get together with these couples, and this group has since grown. There are 13 couples that get together now every year in California, and we just spend an extended weekend with our whole families, and we catch up, and we are constantly reminding ourselves how to live in community as followers of Jesus, and how we're affecting our community back where we live. So I really encourage you. That's such a big part of our story. God used that that vehicle of grace, that community of believers, to help restore us. And if there's one thing that you can do that is crucial to the success of your marriage, is to be involved in a local community, a local body of believers, and just be the first to step out and be the first to initiate forming community. So for me, it started, the reconciliation process started with wanting to be healed and to be authentic with a group of brothers. John 5 says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem by the Sheep Gate is a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. But the whole thing was just, and the guys asked me this, "Eddie, do you want to be healed?" And it really is that that giving over of control. It's the giving over of my own way and saying, yes, I will be healed no matter what it takes. I want to be healed no matter what it takes, no matter what God puts me through. And 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So Rachel and I were surrounded by couples who came around us and encouraged us, shared their lives with us, and allowed us to do the same. That's why we're really big on community groups, a community that gets dirty and it isn't afraid to get dig deep and then to get into your stuff.
And part of that community is accountability. He touched on this a little bit, but the guys walking with Eddie really held him accountable, especially in the aftermath of us being separated and Eddie having admitted to being unfaithful and struggle with pornography. He opened all of that up to these guys. He was vulnerable with them, and they continued to ask him the hard questions. And that's a big part of community, is being willing to be accountable to others. And I had several friends who walked with me, and one friend who actually helped me stay in the marriage when I was ready to walk away. Our friends gave us hope, and they gave us godly counsel. Another tool that God used in healing our marriage was counseling and recovery ministries. Eddie and I both went through counseling separately and then together when we were reconciled. Eddie also went through a recovery ministry called Living Waters, which helped him tremendously in processing through his issues. During the counseling I went through, I came to a realization of the issues that I also had brought to the marriage that had added to our struggles. And I found that I had been ignoring longtime issues with fear, worry, and trust that had originated with my childhood experiences with multiple divorces and remarriages. I realized that even from the beginning of our marriage, I had never trusted Eddie, even though at that time he had done nothing to make me distrust him. I learned a lot of wonderful things through counseling, and I would highly recommend it to anyone if you can find a good Christian counselor. One of the concepts that I learned in counseling was the idea of staying at the line. And this is an idea, the idea that if there's a line in the middle of a conflict, that if one person will just stay there long enough, ready to reconcile, then the other person will eventually come back. And oftentimes what happens is one person comes to the line and they stay there for a little while and they say, "I'm here, I'm bringing it, I'm being honest, I'm being forthright, trying to work on things." And then by the time they've kind of reach the end of their limit, they start to move away, and then that's when the other person is finally starting to come back. So if one of you will stay long enough then and just wait and hold out hope and put your trust in the Lord every single day, then the other person's going to come back to that line. And thankfully, during the time that we were separated, that's what Eddie did, because I didn't communicate with him for months. I communicated through our friends. I even didn't let him see our daughter. She was our oldest was 18 months at the time. And so he thankfully was willing to stay there, and he kept pursuing me, and even when I wasn't willing to communicate with him at all. He owned his part of the struggle, and he waited for me. Another recovery ministry that's been helpful to us was Reengage, which we went through 1 year after we reconciled our marriage. We were encouraged in our healing process here and developed skills for communication and oneness. Also, after being reconciled for over 3 years, I realized that I still had some issues to work through and went through Celebrate Recovery, which is now called Regeneration, to deal with some of those issues. Regen is a ministry here at Watermark that helps people deal with hurts, habits, and hang-ups, and we highly recommend this ministry to anyone who's dealing with personal issues, ranging all the way from something like pride or guilt to addiction of any kind. And so Eddie went through this Living Waters ministry, and I went through Regen, and those were both very helpful for us to kind of get our own stuff out there and deal with our own side and then come back together and try to work on the marriage together. In each of these recovery processes we went through, we had to be willing to share openly and to listen well, even when it was the last thing we wanted to do. These processes were exhausting and challenging, and in spite of that, they were so worth it. And so we want to encourage you, those of you here who are here for Re-Engage tonight. We're so thankful to God for these recovery resources and are happy to say that we have a better marriage today than we ever had before our separation. We hope to offer some encouragement to you by sharing some of the details of our reconciliation and healing. For me, the most challenging part of rebuilding our relationship was forgiveness. I had no idea how to forgive Eddie for his unfaithfulness to me, just to be honest. I felt deceived and wounded by the person whom I had entrusted my heart to. So in not knowing what to do for a long time, I held Eddie's offenses over his head. I used this as a way to have the upper hand in our relationship and to self-protect. It took me a very long couple of years to realize that my unforgiveness was making me embittered and Eddie miserable, but most importantly, it was disobedient to God. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." I finally realized that I was not capable of forgiving Eddie in my own strength and asked God to help me. Two things made it possible for me to forgive him. The first was realizing that forgiveness was between me and the Lord, and it was an act of obedience to God. That meant that I could forgive Eddie without knowing that I would not be hurt by him again. I could trust God with my heart and forgive him. The second truth that allowed me to forgive was realizing my own sin and great need for God's forgiveness. Realizing how much God had also forgiven me was humbling and made it much easier to forgive Eddie. I forgave him and had to claim that forgiveness on a daily basis for a long time. Over time, I began to feel released from the bitterness toward him, and we were able to move forward with rebuilding trust.
So on the trust piece, on my end, I had to realize that because of my people-pleasing weakness, I had to continue to focus on my relationship with the Lord and to trust that he, on his own terms and in his time, changed Rachel's heart towards me. I could not directly rebuild trust. I had to exude humility and gentleness to Rachel and lead in love by example, which would elicit trust on her end. I couldn't make her trust me, nor could I do anything on my own to rebuild it. It was all in the Spirit's work in her heart. And every time I was reminded of how little I had to do to try that, and how just I had to be and I had to abide with the Spirit, it put my heart at ease about all the hard work that lay ahead. It's hard to explain. I mean, you do want to work on your marriage, and you're actively working on your marriage, and we actively worked on ours, and we still do. But at the end of the day, the thing, and Rachel has made the comment before, the thing that has made me a better husband and has grown us closer in oneness is my daily walk with the Lord, my daily time in Scripture, hearing what he has to say, hearing his heart for me, and then my time in prayer. Those two things affect our marriage more than probably anything else. And so when I can do that, then the marriage and the oneness and the conflict resolution and the grace and the trust all come as byproducts of that. So along with that aspect of rebuilding our relationship was learning conflict resolution skills. So James 4 says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? We had to learn to show each other practical grace, which allowed us to overlook minor offenses or to speak truth in love during the hard talks. So again, it was the Holy Spirit that allowed us to show each other practical grace. 2 Timothy 2 says, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Do not quarrel about words. Avoid irreverent babble. Don't be sarcastic. flee youthful passions and avoid foolish, ignorant controversies. Instead, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace. Be kind to everyone, especially your spouse, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, and correcting with gentleness. That's all paraphrased from 2 Timothy 2. And Paul was talking about adversaries in there. So how much more does this apply to our own spouse with whom we're pursuing oneness?
So we're still very much in the process of growing, and we pray that we'll continue to put the focus that on our marriage that it needs. The past couple of years, we have experienced new growth because of a very key component that we were missing in much of our marriage, and that's what Eddie was just talking about, which is spending personal time with the Lord on a daily basis. We can and often do still operate in our own strength, trying to power through on our own, but we find the most success in our marriage and as individuals when we hand over the reins and walk in God's strength.
So whether tonight is your first night here or you've been at Re-Engage for a while, we want to encourage you that there is hope and that you are in the right place. Our prayer for you guys and for our own marriage is Psalms 33:22. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Thanks.